Good morning all. We're 30 today. 30 weeks of podcasting. Out of the last 32 as well. There's no PUE, podcast usage exemption forms here. We are sticking with it for the duration. That's the last joke probably on that kind of 2E that we'll make. Yeah, it's been a busy old week, hasn't it? Eh? God, doesn't it? Flies by. We've seen a lot of, a lot of seasonal changes in the weather, that is for sure. The mornings are definitely colder. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I don't quite feel ready for cycling in winter just yet. I kind of still feel that I want a little bit of heat for a bit longer. Whether that's because the summer took a bit longer to arrive or not, I'm not too sure. But yeah, the Fendrian podcast, week 30. Your 10-minute, or 9 minutes now, because I've been waffling. Your 10-minute guide to what's happening. Thanks a lot for the feedback on the coaching power meter discussion podcast we had last week. As a result of that, I'm going to be helping someone establish their FTP and hopefully giving someone else a bit of guidance in terms of getting power meters. So we'll feedback on how that goes. But yeah, the old coaching works hashtag could well be applied to this podcast. You never know. So yeah, good, thanks. It's always nice to get feedback. It's always nicer to get positive feedback. So thank you very much for that. So what's been happening in the world of cycling in the last week since we last started? Well, we've had the Eneco Tour, which has been one of the best races of the season, going down to the last knockings of the last stage. Nicky Terpstra, a favourite rider of ours, we liked him when he won Dwars Het Hageland in August, that cobbly, farm tracky, canal towpath classic back in August. And we also liked him when he won a rain-sodden Flemish classic back in March. We weren't as happy that he dropped a Brit in Scott Thwaites, but we were impressed with the fact that over those cobbles for the last sort of 20 minutes or so, he was able to keep a minimum of sort of 440 watts, which is very impressive by anyone's standards. So, well done to him. Working back from the conclusion on the Muir de Herardsbergen, which is one of our favourite cobble climbs up to the church and always atmospheric. Looked beautiful. It looks great in the spring. It looked pretty good in the autumn as well. A little bit of leaf mulch stopping them from skipping over to the side of the road and missing out the cobbles for the smoother path, which we quite liked. But yeah, it looked fantastic. The Bosberg as well. Missed that from being in the Tour of Flanders. So great stuff. Great race. It started off pretty epically, pretty decently with Mark McNally, former Tour Series rider that, you know, we may have seen in city centres and town centres near you in the Tour Series in recent years. He did a fantastic couple of stages where he was in breakaways. There was the stage where he was caught 200 metres. In fact, the breakaway he was in was caught that late. He still finished fifth. Peter Sagan was sprinting fantastically, which is ominous for whether or not he can retain his world champions jersey. On that form, I would say he's a good shout. And the stages, kind of sort of the team time trial and the individual time trial, kind of put Rowan Dennis in a position where, you know, where he kind of was in the Tour of Britain. He was kind of there or thereabouts in the Tour of Britain, and you know, he possibly could have pushed on. In this instance, he actually pushed on insofar as he had the jersey. Looked reasonably comfortable till a crash on the last stage. And then it was kind of all up. It was all open. Anyone, anything goes. And Terpstra was pushing on. He had Bob Jungels in the breakaway with him, who was able to put on a bit of power, decent show, and keep him there. Quickstep were superb. In the second group that was chasing, Peter Sagan had, and Tom Dumoulin had an anchor in the form of Zdenek Stibar. Kind of sitting in the wheels, disrupting the chase. Everything went Quickstep's way on the day. And after what wasn't a great April for them, their month they're judged on the Tour of Flanders and Paris-Roubaix. And so for them, this was in a Dutch-Belgian tour. This was a fantastic achievement. A good set of wins. Course amazing. The course on the last day split them all over the place. And you kind of look at tours, even week-long tours, even the Tour of Britain kind of has that ceremonial last stage finish. I suppose there's not that much in London that you could do to break up a race to that extent. But yeah, it's nice to see a race in the Eneco Tour having that the courage maybe to push out a last stage that is not a procession and that will make changes to the overall. So well done to them. The other Eneco Tour innovation, we saw it last year, and people weren't so sure, was the Golden Kilometre, where there are three sprints in a set kilometre of the race, usually sort of 25, 30, 15 kilometres to go, something like that, where there are time bonuses across those three sprints. If you're a lone breakaway, it's a result, because you're going to get all of them, all of the first place bonuses. So yeah, they were ridden really well, really tactically. There was the day that the breakaway was clear and Chad Hager was allowed to go for all of the time bonuses because it gave him a chance for the overall, kind of negotiating with the other riders in that breakaway to let him have those bonuses and he wouldn't contest the stage win. As it happened, as was usual in this Eneco Tour, the breakaway was caught within the last kilometre, the last few hundred metres. I like the Golden Kilometre. I know some people don't. I think it's good. I think the first year they used it last year, they kind of put it on blank, wide open spaces in the middle of nowhere and not a great amount happened in them. People were kind of... There was one stage where it was kind of out in the middle of nowhere on a flat exposed road and Philip Gilbert attacked just before it and cruised through to get the time bonuses in that kilometre before sitting up. So, you know, now the tactics and the nuances of that have made it a bit more advanced and a bit more interesting. So yeah, the Golden Kilometre, like it. Okay, so that's the Eneco Tour. We've got, in the middle of the Italian classic season, we've got Lombardy coming up at the weekend. We had Trevelli Verrazzini yesterday. Beautiful, beautiful scenery, beautiful races. I'll try and get caught up on what's happened in all of those. The other issue that we've left ourselves barely any time to talk about, thankfully, because it's already boring, is the TUI, the Russian hackers scandal and where we sit on the Bradley Wiggins scenario. There is actually a blog on the website, http://fendrien.eu, where we discuss it and talk about it. So have a read of that, because that's pretty a clear establishment of our standpoint on what we think. Hey, asthma medications are probably the most effective thing that you can use to improve a cycling level of performance. It doesn't take, like, I know David Miller has said it, but you don't need to be David Miller necessarily to work that out, that anything that's designed as a medication to aid your breathing and widen your windpipe is not actually ever going to be detrimental, is it? What sticks out about the Bradley situation is, one, I didn't know he was asthmatic, but then, you know, 30% of the riders in the Tour de France have asthma, apparently. But, you know, you see it. People are out there, I'm sure, footballers, rugby players, runners, I'm sure there's a whole host of people who, I'm not saying they simulate the conditions of asthma, because that would be unfair. My mum suffers from it badly. I've seen her on oxygen masks and goodness knows what for it. So, I don't know, it just doesn't sit right. If Bradley has accentuated his symptoms to make sure that he got that medication, then I don't know whether I'm comfortable with that. But maybe, you know, maybe the truth will never be out. In terms of the eyes of the law, if he had a medical exemption form for it, he's not broken the law. He's not taken an illegal substance. He has taken an illegal substance that the governing bodies have deemed it acceptable for him to take based on his symptoms. I don't think Chris Froome's comments have helped about TUEs and how, you know, how they should be managed more effectively. I think this one's going to run and run. Unfortunately, unlike the podcast, which is up and finished, that is your 10-week bite-sized or 10-minute bite-sized show for the week. 30 editions down. Week 31 to follow next week with a bit about the world. Speak to you then. Have a good week. Bye-bye.